No, okay, we can hear you.
It's not Marshall, is it?
No, it's somebody else that was hearing quite well. Had a different voice all the time. Yes?
Yes, well, this is Lodge. Good morning. This is,
very nice of you to come through.
I'm very happy to be able to come, only for a few minutes.
But I must say,
it's such a long time since last I spoke that I'm rather out of the habit.
Yes, well, we're very glad if you'll give us a talk about something.
I'm tremendously interested, of course, in the tremendous advances that have been made on your side, particularly.
Yes.
In so many different fields.
Oh, yes.
And we are, and have been, for a very long time, working on this side,
yes,
on a method of communication between our work and yours that will be accepted eventually, I'm sure, scientifically. We are hoping eventually to be able to make communication in such a way, from a scientific aspect, that no one could possibly deny the authenticity and reality of it. Whether we shall completely ever do away with mediums as such, I think somewhere the human element obviously must be and cannot be done without. I think there must be this human element, even though we may produce scientific instruments that will make possible communication between the two worlds. We should never quite, I'm sure, be able to do without the help in some capacity of the medium. The only thing is that it will not obviously be in the same sense or form as is now used in Russia. There seems to be a great deal of interest in this subject, although it's mostly on a scientific aspect. Certain scientists are very interested in communication and are already experimenting on certain lines. I think it may well be from Russia that we shall have this first indication of really scientific communication with the aid of instruments.
That's very interesting.
So little is understood, even now, about our world and communication. And mediumship, and by its very nature, must be a very fluctuating thing. And we're subject, of course, to all sorts of conditions far beyond your comprehension. But rare mediumship, good mediumship, is very rare. Indeed, one might say that it's by no means as common as it was in my earthly time. Then we seem to have a variety of mediums of all types, and particularly very powerful physical mediums, which was a great asset and enabled us to conduct experiments and satisfactorily prove survival, as far as I personally was concerned, and many others. Today the mediumship seems to be more on a mental level. The This is all right in its way, but it doesn't lend itself so well, so easily, to scientific investigation. But there is a new
Yes, we can hear you quite well. You. Come along, we can hear you. Very interesting, that was, you know.
Yeah.
You've been carrying on.
It's a tremendous progress that has been made since my time scientifically. Of course, there are certain aspects of it that distress one. But many of the things that have already been discovered and other things yet to be brought into the light, if they could be used as we hope and pray they will be used for the benefit of man, they will prove a tremendous blessing. But of course, as you can well imagine, my main interest is really in the scientific aspect of this whole subject. Although I speak in this fashion to you through the agency of an instrument or medium, I look forward so much to a time when it may be possible. In fact, we are sure it will be possible. By the process of the scientific mechanism, machinery, be able to tune in such a way to a higher rate of vibration far beyond the human ear, as you understand it, on a rate so unique in itself, it will have to be brought down, be transformed, be transferred, as it will, into an audible sound and speech eventually. After all, this is exactly what, in a sense, one does when one communicates in this particular fashion. It's a transmission of one's thought into sound, being reproduced, vibrating the atmosphere, creating sound, or perhaps in a sense one might almost say recreating it. But the point is that we have a method which we are now working on, which we feel we shall be able to reproduce through instruments, scientific instruments, sounds, the voices of people long since, as the world calls it, dead. The mastery of this method is not yet complete. There are those who, for various very good reasons perhaps, are not prepared to, at this stage, come forward with any particular information. And I think we may say with absolute assurance that it is not very far off before Russia, certain scientists in Russia, who are experimenting on certain lines will stumble rather than perhaps from the point of view of deliberate seeking, but in seeking something else they will stumble across this method which we are trying to help them with. Their idea, of course, is to produce certain instruments to have communication on certain wavelengths and vibrational rates with certain, if possible, spheres. Already, to some extent, this has been successful. They have been receiving pulsations, they have been receiving certain sounds which are outside, long way outside the range of earthly sound. But we know that accidentally rather than intentionally, because they do not know of our help in this, that they will stumble, they will be receiving messages which we are sending out, which will be transmitted a long period, which will be brought into sound on Earth. But this is something I don't feel at the moment one can go into too deeply. America, too, is on similar lines. But I do think, in fact, I know they're not so far advanced in this. This anxiety, this desire to discover more about a space, to discover what the various planets are like, what they consist of, what the conditions would be, should a man land, and so on. They're not, of course, interested. Indeed, they're not even aware of the possibility of a man who once lived on Earth, living in some spheres in the atmosphere, communicating. They are more concerned with worlds which they have been aware of for some time, which are greatly coming closer and closer by the help of science. They're being brought into a great reality. But they're going to discover, much to their surprise, worlds of human beings who once inhabited Earth and who are still continuing to live in a higher field of activity. Because it will be mind reaching out, in other words, it will be thought forces reaching out to man that will be, which will be picked up. This is something I'm not anticipating, expecting, but we are making full use, taking full advantage of what they are doing on your side scientifically. That we can use it to some extent to prove our identity, to prove our reality, to prove that we truly do exist, that there is a world after death, physical death, in which millions of souls of all nationalities are still existing and developing and evolving and have a greater intelligence and a greater response to life. This is a living reality of which I speak, which we are hoping to eventually, as I've already said, scientifically prove to those in your world who are at the moment unaware of what is going on, but who will be surprised at certain things that will happen. And they will at first no doubt think that they are in communication with intelligences from other planets, but it will be made clear to them that the intelligence is of the individuals and souls who are trying desperately from this side to communicate. It will be a tremendous revelation, and we hope that it will eventually bring a greater understanding among the people of Earth, make them see much of the futility of the conditions which have been created through their ignorance and indeed through their intolerance. And we are very distressed, of course, when we look into your world and see the terrible conditions which have arisen through man's intolerance and foolishness. We are anxiously helping to prevent catastrophe, and we feel that if we can break through and do this in that scientific way of which I speak, it will deter man from going to the brink, the abyss. We are very much concerned when we see your prison world, the terrible, terrible state which man has allowed himself to get into. Science, properly used, properly applied, is a blessing to man. much that is given to man through science could mean for man a better way of life and a much happier one. But there are the limited few who see it often as a weapon which can be used in defense, so they say, for war. This is, of course, the appalling fact that instead of being used for man's good, it is often used for man's destruction. We have seen it in the past. We want to avoid it in the future. We who come from this side, particularly those of us who come with an idea of being of service, of being of real value and help to your world, are distressed and appalled, of course, when we see the state and condition of the world. We are concerned with proving if we can, and I'm sure we can, eventually in this scientific way of which I try to give you some idea, but it will be, it must be, the time is not far distant, when there will be such a scientific aspect to communication. There will be no doubts, and it will be universally accepted. And then perhaps we shall see the true beginning of the brotherhood of man. We shall see many of the old barriers knocked down, and we shall see that man has realized, perhaps the very first time, how vital and necessary it is for him to band together and break down the barriers that separate, the barriers of creed and barriers of religion and politics. These barriers that man has built up over centuries of time, we are hoping and praying that it may not be too long before the first fruits of our labor will become apparent. But you will be hearing, and I make this as a different prophecy, you will be hearing very soon, I can show, certain things which will give you some idea of knowledge of that of which I try to convey. Certainly there will be the beginnings of this breakthrough. It's not so far off, particularly in Russia, where science is really progressed inside. You know, it is to us the most amazing thing. Russia, which was only less than 50 years ago, or 50 years ago, was one of the most, if not the most, backward nation in the world, in which there was no opportunity for the people whatsoever to progress, have come now to become really scientifically the leading nation in the world. They have become a taut-knit nation. I know there are many aspects which one might condemn, and I'm not here to condemn, but scientifically I suppose I must speak purely from that aspect where the amazing technical scientific advancement has been made by these people who 50 years ago could neither read nor write and had no schooling, no opportunity. It to me is the most extraordinary thing if they can make this advance as they have done in roughly 50 years. What they will achieve and may achieve in the next 25 alone is fantastic. And one has to say that it is from Russia, from the scientific point of view, that one may expect to see these advances, although I don't think America is very far behind, but I feel from the point of view of scientific communication between our world and yours, it is in Russia that we shall see the first signs. Seems to be more advancement there. We certainly are working with certain scientists in the hope of producing something very definite in the very near future. So if it is published, as I should imagine, eventually it will be brought into light. I don't think it's something that we want to hold back because it would be of no value in a material sense. It's purely something of the mind. The Russians for a long time have been piercing the veil. They have been experimenting scientifically with thought force and power of thought and what it can do, what it can achieve. They've been very active on a mental plane, on a mental level, very, very advanced indeed. You will see this, I tell you this very shortly. You will to see the beginning of this. You know, I'm very interested in what you dear friends are doing. I know there are difficulties, bound to be limitations of certain kind, but I know that you do your utmost. And I think you're very fortunate in as much that you have got this mediumship, but know as much as one may admire it, good mediumship, which is rare. We are looking forward to a scientific breakthrough. This is something I'm most anxious about, and I'm most concerned with. Well, I don't think I can stay.
Oh, Sir Robert.
Yes.
Sir Robert, could you ask? I was going to ask you something there, if it comes to. About these flying saucers, are they true or not true? Oh. Are they, do they come from other planets?
Of course, there are other planets who are endeavouring to make contact or are curious or interested in your world, just the same as your world, or scientists, certain scientists and peoples who are interested in other planets. Of course, they do exist. And of course, there's a lot of nonsense and they've been talked and a lot of things in which don't apply. But of course, there are entities, souls, who are trying to break through in a scientific way from other planets into your world, and who are in a position that I would say, in some sense, is more advanced, and are trying to make contact in their own way. But I think I can say with absolute truth that, of course, they are very apprehensive. You see, you must not think that souls on other planets who are endeavouring to communicate, or at least are interested in your world, are not unaware of the mentality of the mass. You see, you have got to accept the fact that there's every reason for them to be suspicious of the motives of the peoples of Earth, who for generations have lived by war, and who have, whatever advance scientifically, at least many of the scientific advances materially have been made, have been used for destruction rather for good. You see, then there is apprehension on certain planets where there is a realization of things of Earth, and because of the attitude of mind, you see, you cannot avoid the mass mind which generates in your world, which pierces the etheric conditions around your world. If you could see the etheric vibrations and conditions around your world, you'd understand and realize why there must be apprehension on various spheres and planets, even with ourselves who come to communicate. We are very conscious of this very strong, powerful etheric force around your world, which is pushed out constantly by millions and millions of minds and thoughts, which in themselves are not good. They're very heavy, they're concerned with materialism to such a degree, and there's so much fear. There is a tremendous force of which you know nothing, which is around your world, which makes it very difficult for communication, in part from anything else. And it is an amazing thing that you do receive the communications that you do. Because if you could see, as I see, and many of us are aware, the conditions around your earth are appalling. This is brought about by man himself, by the very thoughts that he generates all the time. There is a terrible, which to us, I suppose you could say, is like a kind of fog. It's a terrible atmosphere around your world. The whole of your world is living in fear. All the time you're living, as it were, on the very edge of a precipice. You never quite know what the next day is going to bring forth. You've had certain indications recently of what can happen accidentally. But my goodness me, I don't think that people on Earth realize that all the time, every second of their living moment, you might say, is fraught with danger. You have so much power of destruction in your world at the present moment, already to be set off at a moment's notice. And I don't think humanity realizes what it has done to itself. It's built up a tremendous stockpile of force and power of destruction. The whole world is full of fear and intolerance. The brotherhood of man has been pushed into the background. The churches do nothing. They side with governments, they side with force if necessary. They pretend to be pacifistic, and yet at the same time they're far from pacifistic. They're supposed to follow Christ, the man of God, the Prince of Peace, the man who had nowhere to lay his head. And yet all the time they deny him their very thoughts and their actions by supporting these things. Why doesn't the church come out, as it should do, in a vast body of power and strength, and denounce this horror which man has built, this terrible condition under which you live, this intolerable situation which man has brought upon himself through fear?
So, Oliver, may I ask you something?
Yes, please do, but I don't think I can stay.
But it's the with the flying saucers again. People who have seen them, they say they can feel a terrific spiritual feeling when they're near them.
Well, of course, I think that's perfectly true, that they would and they must, because the motives and the desires of the souls who are trying to link up with your world, for whatever planet or sphere they may come, is for good. We are concerned, or every individual, every soul is concerned with the welfare of man, for the good of man. But you see, we all see the dangers. We see how you're all the time preparing. In every sense, it's not only physical, it's mental too. You see, the whole atmosphere in your world, to us, is appalling. Man has created so much havoc in the past, and now he has weapons which, quite frankly, there could be nothing left. You only need a few to be set off. And you've had an indication recently of this Spanish business. Mm. Well, quite honestly, I mean, it should prove to people the terrible danger, even by a sheer accident, under which you exist today. To me it is frightening, to me it is appalling, to me it is something which I find almost unbelievable, that people with intelligence and reasoning power, and particularly those who profess to have spiritual beliefs and spiritual desires, can allow themselves to sit back and do nothing. To me it is an extraordinary state of affairs, but I'm afraid I can't stay. May God bless you, I must go.
Thank you so much for coming through. Thank you very much. Very
bye-bye. Great. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Sure, I can see you next Monday.
Yes, bye-bye.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Mickey, bye-bye. For all you've done.
Can I have your lot up?
What did Mickey say?
Hunt your lot up, I thought, is there?
Oh.
I think you're talking to Betty about it.
Thank you, Betty. Bless you.